the traditional
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. If you recall, on Easter, 3 weeks ago, we talked about the resurrection power of God that was at work 2,000 years ago or so behind us when God raised Christ from the dead. And that was great. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at the resurrection and power of God at work in us even right now, namely that he has buried us with Christ in baptism, and which he's also raised us with faith, through faith in the working of God. That's Colossians 2, verse 12. So think about this. You are a raised people, a new people, resurrected already in your inner man, in your spirit, while our outer flesh is still subject to decay. So that is power with us right now. What I'd like to talk with you about today is the resurrection power of God that is before us in the future to which we are running at the last day. So what are we to expect about the resurrection power before us at the last day, which we believe and know, which the world is blind to, but we see now clearly, even already, by the word of God? What is coming to us according to God? What resurrection power is before you? And how does the resurrection power before you in the future that's coming to us energize you now for your present life to run the great race of the faith to the end and to fight the great fight of the faith of the faith to victory? Let's take a look at that today. And remember, what are we running to? And what are we fighting for? Let's take a look at that today, the resurrection power to come in the future at the last day. Now, first, as we think about this, why is this an important thing for us to talk about today? The resurrection power to come in the future. I mean, isn't that in the future? Shouldn't we just worry about what's going on in the present and not about the future? Well, no. Because if you remember, the last two Sundays, we've talked about that we are at present living in an evil and a dark age, according to Scripture, a present darkness. And this is not easy. We are fighting a great fight of the faith. We are running a great race through perilous times. Would you say these are perilous times? The world is bonkers, nuts, crazy these days. There are many voices out there in the world today that are trying to lead us astray and to destroy us. If you think of it, there are woke agendas. Didn't even know that that was a word several years ago. Now we do. Wickedness and evils. There are appeals to our flesh, like we talked about last week, from our phones especially, constantly trying to strengthen the old evil dark side of ourselves. We have to fight that. There are false Christs and false teachers abounding everywhere with their evil teachings. There are now beatings of the drums of war again amongst the nations. Violence in cities, turmoil and division amongst people. And we know in the scripture that in the last days, it said, wickedness will be increased, therefore most men's love will grow cold. So how are you going to fight all of these things and run the great race of the faith through these things to the end of the finish line if we don't keep the finish line clearly in mind and what we're fighting for? What are we fighting for as Christians? The sight of it is the goal, the prize, namely the kingdom of God, the city which is to come, the world to which we are bound, a new world, to be revealed to us at the last day in resurrection power. If we lose sight of these things, we are not going to run the race well. We could even fall and be destroyed. But if we keep this clearly in our eyes as a city on the horizon shining to which we are running, that's going to give you a renewed zeal to run your race and great courage to fight the fight of the faith with greatest strength to victory. And so let's remember what we're running to and what we're fighting for. The resurrection power to come at the last day. So let me ask you, is there really resurrection future power to come to us in the future at the final day of the world to which we're running and fighting? What do you say?
Yeah.
Yes, how do we know that? God told us so. Where does he tell us that? In the Bible. And how clear is he there about these things? Well, clear as day, clear as crystal, clear as a bell. He says, I didn't speak in secret in a land of darkness. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. He's straightforward about these things. Are we really sure that these things will come to pass? Well, only as surely as God is faithful. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all those who take refuge in him. And God's not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? So the future city to which we are bound, that we're running to, that's going to be revealed, the world to come, this is not dependent upon man. It's not dependent upon faith. It's only dependent upon God and his faithfulness to his word. Therefore, it is rock solid coming to you. This is the truth. There is such a city and such a king that we can obtain, and we're already part of his kingdom and running there to it. When is the kingdom of God going to be revealed and the resurrection power? At the last day, the end of the world, which is Christ's return. When is that specifically? Well, no one knows. You know that. It's top secret information. God the Father alone knows. And so what are we to do until then? We're told in the scriptures, you run the race to that place. Fight the good fight of the faith and watch at all times, Jesus says. That means keep alert, keep awake, stay alert. Pray at all times that you may have strength to escape all the things that are to take place in the last days and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you about that? Alert, watching, and praying? So what is coming to us? What is it to which we are running that we need to keep clear in our sights? Well, for the rest of this sermon, let's just go through what we are to expect in the future according to God's declaration to us. And I have to say, all these events kind of take place simultaneously, instantaneously, like the twinkling of an eye and the flash of lightning. So even though I'm going to lay them out in orderly, chronological order as the scripture declares them to us, just know this all happens really fast. So to dissect them into different orderly events, well, when it comes, it's going to come all together like lightning and the twinkling of an eye. So let's take a look. For our good cheer, for our renewed zeal, for a greater hope, for greater joy as you run, to remember what you're running towards, let's consider what God has told us that we be strong in the faith. First, before we get to that last day, what are we supposed to expect in the world according to God? In the present evil age, easy or hard? Yeah, it's going to be pretty tough. It's the final waves of the beach as we're crossing the Atlantic to the new world like pilgrims. You know, the final biggest waves are toward the coast. We have to be expecting that. Jesus says you're going to hear of wars, and you're going to hear of rumors of wars. Don't be afraid of that. So are you hearing of that already? Jesus says, don't be alarmed. That's just stuff that has to take place. There's going to be nations coming, rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pangs. You know, even as I'm preaching to you right now, there's a tornado watch going on here, kind of reminiscent of that. Then there'll be attacks on Christians. Take heed to yourselves. They'll deliver you up to councils. You'll be beaten in synagogues. You'll stand before governors and kings for my sake. You've got to be ready to stand against the world. Are you ready to stand against the world and the great might of the Christian soldier? And then the gospel is going to be preached to the end of the earth. Praise God for that. We hear that the gospel must be preached first to all nations, and then the end will come. How close are we? Well, like 99.9% of the way. That's good. But then many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, false teachers. And the churches will start to empty out. Boy, are we seeing that in our days? Through the wolves in sheep's clothing and the pulpits. Many will fall away, Jesus says, and betray one another and hate one another. And as I said, the increase in evil, most because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. And there'll be signs in the skies. There'll be signs, Jesus says, in the sun and the moon and the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the waves. Boy, we're on the coast. expect that one. Men fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Shaken, that is, by God. So, in short, would you say, good time to skip church? No. Play around with sin? No. Schmooze with the devil? No. No, this is a time to be in a church that's going to teach you the truth and preach to you to the truth, which is my aim. God, help me to do it, to give you the truth. Why? That we might keep to it. Run that race with joy. Be ever vigilant to fight the good fight of the faith, to conquer, for Jesus says, the time is near. It's coming close. It's not far away. It's proximity very close. But we're in a dark and an evil age before we get to the brightness of the sun of that kingdom. So let's remember to run for the prize and fight for victory for the kingdom. So then what's going to happen after that? As we get to the last day, the sign of the king's coming will suddenly appear in the skies. Jesus says, Matthew 24:30, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, in the sky. What's that going to look like, do you think? Well, I don't know exactly, but it will be the emblem of the king. It will be the royal crest, the seal of the Son of God. It will appear, and you're going to know exactly what that is, and everybody will. It's the sign of the Lord's coming. In other words, put down your pencils, students. The quiz is over. Let's see your papers. Time for judgment. Yikes, right? How will people respond? How are you going to respond to that? For us, joy. Because we are awaiting our redemption. Jesus told us to be looking up and excited about that. But for those who are not ready, well, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, Jesus says. And they'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is, Jesus came the first time, we know that. He's coming a second time, one final time, the last time, as King in shining splendor. So that, remember again, is not dependent upon whether someone believes it or not. This is not like fairy tales. This is based upon God and his truthfulness to what he's declared. It's going to come to pass. He's faithful to his word. This is coming soon to our earth. So are you ready for that? What comes next? Next, Jesus says, the angels are sent out. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So there's a gathering, a collection. Who's he collecting first? The elect, namely Christians, the redeemed of the earth. The angels go out, and they are assigned the mission, the task of gathering Christians all into one place. But then they're also sent out for a second thing, on a second mission, other angels, to gather those who are non-Christians and not redeemed, who are still in their sins and have therefore no Savior. What do you think about that situation? Bad in that case. Remember Jesus' parable. He says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed means the sons of the kingdom, the Christians. And then the weeds are the sons of the evil one that he sowed, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Say the word angels. Amen. They're coming out. They're coming. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels that gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. Does that speak a word of fear? Indeed. Yes, the first angels gather the elect, the second to gather the wicked. I would say at that point, yikes. You see that also in Revelation 14, by the way, those two collections, those two gatherings. So who's going to be gathered again? You tell me. I'll give you a hint. Everyone. Who? Specifically, how many of everyone? Frankly, everybody who's ever lived on the face of the earth from the day of Adam to the very last day, they'll all be gathered. Why will they be gathered? To appear before the king. And how will they be gathered? I mean, how do you really do this, frankly, if you're an angel? I mean, aren't They're people that have died thousands of years ago in their graves. They're just dust. What of those who perished at sea, the good sailors who went down with the waves and were eaten by crabs and sharks, let's say 4,000 years ago? What of them? How are they going to appear? The answer, the resurrection of all flesh. All will be raised. Every person who's ever lived from Adam to this very day will be raised. Is there resurrection power to come in full force on that day? Paul said before Felix in Acts 24, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law or written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which they themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and of the unjust." So who gets raised? The Christians and the non-Christians, everybody. You can't miss the resurrection. Even if you wanted to be absent, you couldn't. You will be there. There's an appointed day. "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth," says Daniel, "shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Jesus said, "Don't marvel at this, for the time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So they are gathered up then into two parties, two companies, two camps, two groups on that day at the resurrection power of God in full force to raise everybody to stand before the King. Wow. Then what do we expect? The next thing will be a great trumpet call. Say the word trumpet. And the King will come, descending from heaven to earth. For Jesus says in Matthew 24, "They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Can you picture that in your mind's eye? What that will look like? You'll see it. What a day! Yikes! For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. I would do it for you, but I'd sound ridiculous. The angel will be far, far better at that. The dead in Christ will rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4. Can you almost hear the trumpet now? What does an angelic trumpet sound like? To signal the coming of the King. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne," says Jesus. "Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left." Notice again, there's only two parties, two camps, two companies, two groups. And they are divided each on different set sides of the King. That's the righteous and the wicked. That is, those in Christ and those not in Christ. Would you say with me the word yikes? In a good way for us, but yikes even so. What then will we see? You will see books. Books? Yes, books, indeed. What kinds of books? "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done." So what kinds of books are these? Record books. Books of accounting. For the day of reckoning and accounting has come. "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done," says the Lord Jesus. And what then is in these books? Think about this. Every last act, everybody who's ever lived on the face of the earth has been written down. There's a book for each and every one of you, and a book for me. Can you imagine that? What is in those books? The secrets, the actions, the deeds, the words. Every careless word, Jesus says, shall be brought under judgment. Every secret intention of the heart, penetrating to the very secrets of the soul, disclosed in the books. Again, yikes. How will the wicked feel then, in their camp at the King's left hand when the books are opened? What do you think? Who's going to be there? Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Pontius Pilate, Herod, from the native in the jungle, to the richest merchant in his seaside palace, to every housewife, to every husband, young, old, rich, poor, Sean Connery, all the way even down to the average Joe on the street. Every theft, every crossword, every lie, every blasphemy, every fornication, every forbidden sexual act, every shady business deal, every abortion, every rejection of the preaching of the Christ to save them, will they rue their words on that day? The books of accounting, the day of reckoning has come at the resurrection of the just and of the unjust. And what's going to be like on that day for the wicked? God prophesied, Isaiah 28 would apply to that. God said it will be sheer terror to understand the message. That is, at that time, when the Lord comes in majesty, men shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. This is our God and that great day. So at the same time as they quake for fear, what will be heard on the other side? There will be a joyful stir of anticipation in the other camp. That is, the redeemed. What do we read? Jesus says, now when these things even begin to take place, look up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's a word of great joy. The prize, the judgment will begin with the righteous. For the king sits on his throne and will turn first to those at his right and said, will say, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You can almost see him smiling as he says such a thing. For he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And this side is going to say, Master, when did we see thee so and do these things to you? And the king will say, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And they will go away into eternal life. So the righteous on this side are saved by grace through faith in Christ, buried with him and raised with him in baptism. These are the enrolled in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. And if you've been buried and raised with him in baptism, born again through the gospel, through faith in Christ, blessed are those who share in this first resurrection, raised in spirit. Over such, the second death has no power, in other words, hell. But your sins are forgiven, and each deed you've done in Christ shall be rewarded. For behold, again, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done, says the Lord. And Paul says, each shall receive his wages according to his labor. And so this is a time of great joy for you. And Jesus even said, whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, you will by no means lose your reward. What a great day that's going to be. Joy in the camp of the redeemed. What then? Well, those redeemed at Christ, at his right hand, that is, the saved will enter the kingdom and the door will be, boom, shut. Whew. That is, all who can enter, the saved will enter. You shall go forth like calves leaping from the stall. God tells you, that's what it'll be like. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And we'll get back to the righteous in a moment. But what of the wicked, though? That other camp. Then the king will say to those at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food, thirsty and you gave me no drink, etc. And they're going to say, Lord, when did we see thee so and such things? And he will say, truly I say to you, as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Yikes, right? Where will each of these two camps and parties and companies go? Well, and they, the wicked, will go away into eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46, but the righteous into eternal life. Therefore, Jesus says now to the world and to us, strive to enter by the narrow door, For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, you know, urgently, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. They'll begin to say, I might say, shout, oh, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, that is, you evildoers. What fearsome time that will be. The door will be shut, and that an eternal shutting. And may all therefore today repent. And the call is this, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. There is a city to enter by the gates. Outside, Revelation 22 says, or 21 says, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the fornicators, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Therefore, God calls all people today, don't let this fate befall you. Repent, O world, and receive the free gift of salvation in Christ. For if not, they shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified and his saints and to be marveled at and all who have believed. And Revelation 14 says, the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Revelation 20, if anyone's name was not found in the book written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the destiny for the devil and his angels and all who follow them. So let's go now to the other camp, the camp of the redeemed, the Christians. You, what of the righteous? What is awaiting you in the future to come? The rescued of Christ. Well, while the wicked go away into eternal punishment, the righteous will enter eternal life. And what is that? The kingdom. The new world to come. The Lord's world. You know what? He created the first world. We're in it right now. Obviously, he made it. Well, he's promised to make you a second one, and this one better, perfect, eternally. What's it going to be like? As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man perceived what God has prepared for those who love him, God's revealed to us by the Spirit. You already got a glimpse of it, a mirror dimly, you look through, you see it in part, let's say, a postcard in the Scriptures. What is it? It's the city of God, his dwelling with his people. And what's it going to look like? Well, the 12 gates of your city are 12 pearls. And the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. The new world, the eternal one, the kingdom, and your bodies? Oh, you're going to see resurrection power on that day, raised imperishable, in glory, in power, like Christ's own resurrected body eternally shall be yours. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 66, behold, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And Peter says, according to his promise, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, everything right and good forever. You'll see the king with your own eyes and know his love for you forever. The righteous, Jesus says, shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So, Christians, let's keep all these things before our eyes in these days. These are dark times, but you're heading to light and a world of glory and joy forever. That the resurrection power of God to come to you in the future at Christ's return may renew your hope today, refresh your courage, give you zeal to run the great race of the faith, and give you the vigor and courage to fight the good fight of the faith all the way to victory, for it's the Lord who keeps you to Christ for that day, for that kingdom to come at the resurrection of all flesh. And Jesus says, he who has ears to hear these things, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Resurrection Power to Come in the Future, a broadcast of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Have a wonderful week. in our Lord Jesus Christ.